Hi, everyone. Welcome to another Leader Feeder podcast episode. I'm host Suzanne Jakes here with our general manager, Kirk Langford. And today we're talking about HR training solutions for the manufacturing workforce. Mm-hmm. So, Kirk, right away, what are some challenges that HR is facing today to get their workforce trained?
Yeah, that's a great question to start us off, Suzanne. So I'd say one of the pieces is there's training on two parts, right? At minimum two parts, I'd say. There's the training on the equipment, the machinery, the specific tasks that need to be done on the team, right? And then there's the tasks, not on the team, sorry, but in the job or in the role. But then there's also learning to work with other people. So learning collaboration, learning conflict management, learning effective communication. Mm-hmm. Those two things are quite separate when we think about training, because this the first one is usually very technical. It's how the machine works, how to turn it on and off, how to calibrate it, things like that. Mm-hmm. It also might include really specific health and safety, standard operating procedures or SOPs and other pieces like that. So some really specific stuff and not really necessarily open for debate. It's kind of like, this is how we do it, this is how it has to be done. Then you've got leadership development, right? And just kind of soft skills, what we would call maybe more generally. So you've got how to communicate with the rest of the team. You've got how to solve conflicts or manage conflicts. You've got how to collaborate. That is much more nuanced. It's much more abstract. And it's much less easy to teach it in an SOP, very structured way. Mm. Because it's much more about how you are as a person, how you interact with the other people on your team. So maybe I wouldn't even call it a challenge per se, but I do think that it's something that HR leaders and anyone in training and development, they do have to think about, okay, how am I going to train not only on this really specific stuff, mm-hmm. but also on this more generic soft skills stuff. So it's sort of that juxtaposition or that contrast between the hard skills and the soft skills that I think can present a challenge. And part of it is because you might have people on your team. So say you're a really great operator, you get promoted to team lead, okay? So now you're responsible for teaching the other people on your team or the new people on your team how to operate the machinery or the equipment. That's great, but you might not be actually much of a good trainer yourself, right? I know that sounds harsh to say, but often just because you're a really good operator, it doesn't necessarily make you a good teacher. You can be a great driver. It doesn't mean you're going to be good at teaching your child how to drive, right? It takes patience. It takes cooperation. It takes understanding where they're at and where they need to be and all of these other skills that are not necessarily anything to do with how well you operate the machine. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we make that mistake when it comes to training in general on our team. We think that the person that's best at doing a task is also the best person to train others on that task, when that's not necessarily true, right? Sometimes the most competent person at a task is maybe the worst to train because they're so good at it that they sort of go into autopilot. So if they had to walk through the steps with somebody else, mm-hmm. they might actually go, oh, I don't even really think about this when I'm doing it, I just do it. So then to have to explain it to the other person, they might not really be able to do it comprehensively or very well. So I know I'm giving you a really long-winded answer, but
no, this is great.
But I think there's the technical skills yeah. often being taught by someone who's very technically competent, but not necessarily the best teacher or the right teacher for the task. So that's the first part. But again, then there's these soft skills. And those soft skills, that also might not be something the leader is particularly good at. Potentially, they may not have great mm-hmm. Great communication, ability to manage conflict, ability to set expectations, right. Ability to celebrate positives and recognition and accomplishments and achievements on the team. So HR usually is really good at some of those things, but they're not necessarily the leader on the team that gets to do that. So I think it's those two pieces being quite very important both for training and success in any position. But they're just so different that they can be difficult to train.
So HR really has their hands full.
They got their work cut out for them.
That just sounded like a lot because, yeah, yeah. I mean, that both those things do sound like challenges. And before mm-hmm. you can even really decide what your team needs, you have to figure out what your team needs,
that's right?
Yeah,
that's
what
right.
kind of skills do they need and
that's
which
right.
individuals need what
yeah,
and
that's exactly right.
two different types of training,
yeah.
right? I didn't even
and
think of
right.
the...
And that's really, yeah. I'm putting them into two really big buckets.
Right,
I mean, you can argue
absolutely.
There's lots of other ones. I mean, you could argue that learning to run the machine is a very different training from health and safety or women's
right.
training or others. So I put them into two big buckets, but there you could argue there's a lot more than that too.
Right, so we here at Unique Training and Development, we teach more of those soft skills that
yes,
you were talking about.
Yes, very much
about.
So, very much, yeah.
And you're talking about these hard skills that they need, or that, you know, technical skills that maybe mm-hmm. they would need, and you spoke about compliance and safety training and mm-hmm. WMIS.
Mm-hmm.
How would you make, so sorry, why I say that is because our soft skills, we try to make our programs very engaging.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we really try to incorporate the participants as much as we can in
yeah,
our training
for
programs
sure.
And make it engaging and fun. and practical as well. But how would you make like a safety training engaging for your workers? If HR is wondering, if there are any HR people listening and thinking, well, how am I going to make WMIS, everybody, oh, WMIS again, or safety training, how could they make that engaging for their participants?
Prizes. Lots and lots of prizes.
Ooh!
No,
I'm just kidding.
No, I think, I mean, certainly you could do prizes. You can have like kind of fun little draws and stuff just for attending. But I think you make a good point, which is that often we take those soft skills training and we do experiential activities and kind of fun stuff to make it, maybe not fun rather, but engaging, experiential,
but really
interactive.
Thinking too, right? We have a lot of thinking
That's right.
A lot of self-assessments.
That's right. And so when we think about health and safety, I think one of the things is variety is the first part. So if I only take on-demand courses or I only ever read a textbook or, you know, no one learns only one way, right? I know there's a big thing about learning styles and some people might say, oh, I'm an auditory learner. But even someone who says I'm an auditory learner or I'm a visual learner, we still learn in a lot of different ways. So we benefit from hearing and seeing and doing and touching and all of these different things, right? So what I would say is, I think variety is important. So, for example, if you're going to do WMIS training, not just having sort of read this, you know, 10 pages of WMIS training on what all of these symbols mean, you know, so that when you see them, you're aware, and then doing the test to say, okay, we did it. But maybe it's making it into a little bit of a game. Right? Maybe it's, this might sound silly, but kind of a go fish, like this is a silly example, but you know, you play a game of go fish, but with WMIS symbols. You know, do you have that this is a flammable material? You know, because you got to be able to identify what the symbol is, right? And then, you know whether the other person has it. The other person has to know whether they have it. So, again, that's just a quick, fun example, but it's something that makes it come alive a little bit
Sounds a little more repetitional, too, if you were to make a couple of things, like do some signs or a little bingo card or something
that's right.
like
Repetition's
that.
Where, really important for learning, and that's why variety is also good, because if I if I introduce repetition only as, hey, I want you to read this once. Okay, you're done? Read it again. Great. Okay, read it a third time. Now it's time for the quiz. By the end of that, probably even the second time, you're going to go, why did I have to just read that again, you know, word for word? But if I read it once, and then maybe I talk about it, and then maybe I play a game about it, and then I do an experiential activity about it, I've now seen the material introduced to me in four different, or not introduced rather, but repeated, right, three times, the introduction plus three repetitions. And yet none of it's been just having to read the same document four times. So I'm experiencing it in different ways, which is going to help me learn. So I think trying to, that's why I say variety is one of the biggest things, trying to have a variety of activities and ways of taking in the information, right? I think another thing about it is if you can incorporate things like demonstrations, right? Experiential activities, I think that can really help. It can be a challenge, but like I said, you know, you've got to think about a little bit outside of the box about how you can do those things. So moving away from just read, you know, the booklet that works, that goes through what all of these symbols mean. And I said, how can I turn this into a bit of an activity? Maybe we actually do a walkthrough of the warehouse and we look for WMIS symbols and we sort of test ourselves as we're walking through. So the class does a walkthrough together and says, okay, well, there's a WMIS symbol. Can anyone tell me what that means? Can anyone tell me why it would be on this container? So you're making it a bit more experiential, because the reality is that when you want them to be able to identify it is when they're
on the floor.
On the job, on the floor. So now they're able to do that a little bit better. So I would say variety and then incorporating as much experiential learning is going to make it more impactful, more valuable.
That's great tips, everybody. Love that. Those are so good. So when we were talking about, when you were talking about making them experimental and things like that, do we teach safety training with any of our programs, right?
We do
safety feedback. Not so much WMIS and things like that, but we do incorporate a little bit of that into our program. So if anybody, any customers or clients wanted to put that into their program, we could kind of do that. Because you had said earlier, like, when we talk about training solutions, the very beginning of this episode, you were talking about HRs having to figure out like really what their team needs. So again, if you wanted to put a little bit of safety into, you know, a more engaging program with soft skills and things like that, we could do that.
And well, it's like you said, we don't, you know, we're not going to cover WMIS and these really specific things, first aid and WMIS and whatnot. But we, you know, we talk, for example, about safety feedback. So one of the tough things about safety is you can teach people what they need to do. You need to wear your ear protection when you're on the floor. You need to have your goggles on when you're around this area. but we know that not everyone takes safety as seriously as everybody else on the team. And so the challenging thing is not even necessarily giving the initial training. It's what do you do when I go out to the floor and I see Mark and he's on there and he doesn't have his earplugs in. Mm-hmm. Giving feedback and correcting people can be a really challenging thing to do because we often feel very aggressive or maybe we feel condescending. And so part of what our safety training teaches, a safety feedback training, is how to go up to Mark in a polite way and in a respectful way, but also still in an assertive way. And Mark, I noticed you weren't wearing your earplugs. Remember why those are important to wear. I'd like you to put those in if you don't mind, right? So delivering in a way that's not just, Mark, I'm giving you a write-up because I saw you without it, but also not saying anything, not just going, oh, I wanted to say it, but it was awkward. And, you know, if he didn't have the minutes, clearly because he doesn't want them. Mm-hmm. It's being able to have those conversations related to safety, why mm-hmm. safety is important, why we take it seriously. That can actually be really challenging. And so that's what our safety feedback module tries to do.
Right, because what do we say? We have to be the courage to, you see something, say something.
That's right. That's exactly right. It takes courage to say something when you see something. It's easy to see something and kind of go, oh, I don't want to get involved. Or and this can be difficult, not only if you're the leader, but if you're just another team member that you see someone doing something they're not supposed to do or not doing something they are supposed to do, like following a safety procedure or something. It can be challenging to go, how am I going to say something? Because I don't want to come off as, the rule follower all the time. And I'm doing it because I care about this person. I don't want them to get hurt or something. So you're right. It does take courage to go, I saw something and I'm going to go say something, right? As opposed to just letting it slip by and then, you know, something potentially happening going, I could have said something. I could have spoken up when I had the chance. Yeah.
So let's say you are the HR manager and you have figured out what sorts of training, you know, the challenges that are in your organization right now, you're facing them, you're getting it done, you're figuring out, you know, what sorts of training your team needs, and now you've decided on your training program, you've come to Unique Training and Development and gotten a program, and now one of the questions we're going to ask, or that they should want to answer, I suppose, is, how can they assess their training, right? So can you give any tips for HR of how to make sure that their training is correct or successful, impactful?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing I would say is watch our episode that we did on post-training evaluation assessment, right? Because that's really the big thing. That's a whole episode
that's
on how
true.
You can really make
we did
sure.
Do one of those.
Yeah. But I think just to give a shorter answer than an entire separate episode, I think the first thing is start by identifying what the goal of the training was. Now, arguably, you would do that before you do the training, but sometimes you don't. It's just, you know, you've been maybe told to get women's training or get whatever it is, first aid training, so you just do it. And now you're in the after after the fact going, oh, we're trying to assess whether or not that worked, whether there was value. So it can be a little bit challenging to do after the fact. But set goals. If you didn't set goals before, it's okay to set it after, to say to, you know, to talk to the team or talk to the management and say, what was the purpose of this? What were we hoping to get out of this? Essentially, what were we paying for?
Well, you might even find something new. Even if you did set goals, you might find something new,
that you didn't think
would have
as you were going
happened.
Through the training.
Absolutely.
So I think identifying the goal of the training is the first part, because then you're measuring against that goal, right? So if you're saying, well, the goal was to reduce, if we're thinking of a more something like health and safety training, maybe it's we're hoping to reduce the number of accidents on the floor, right? Well, if that was your goal, okay. First of all, I would say that's a pretty vague goal. So I think we'd want to have a number there as opposed to just,
specific. Maybe
it's no accidents, or maybe it's only no more than one per quarter, or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Then you now have the goal. You can now measure against that goal. So now you've done the safety training. Before you were getting 5 to 6 accidents per quarter. Now measuring in the next quarter, are we down to 2? Are we down to 1? Have we reached our goal? Mm-hmm. So I think the first thing is just having the goal. And whatever those are, it could also be financial goals. It could say we want to increase the production output, right? So if you've decided that's your goal, first of all, what do you want to increase it to? Mm-hmm. The training's now completed. Have you reached that target? Mm-hmm. Right? And then that tells you, do we need follow-up training? If we did reach the target, great. But if we didn't, why not? Do we need follow-up training? Even if we did reach the target, do we want to further reach a better target, a new target, set a new number that might require further training? So I think the biggest thing you could do to assess it is set a goal, decide what the purpose of the training is, and then measure against that.
HR really needs to talk to other managers and supervisors right?
For sure.
Because you're talking about, when you start talking about like production goals, how would HR know what a production goal might even look like, right?
I think a smaller company, they actually might, because I thought in smaller organizations, it's more likely that, you know, you've got a smaller HR department, you've got a smaller production department, and so they might talk to each other a little bit more. And some of the bigger organizations we've worked with, this isn't true across the board, mind you. We've got some really large organizations we've worked with that have really good internal communication. But in other ones that we've worked with, we do find that, you know, HR is kind of judging their stuff by their own goals, and we've got production kind of focusing on their goals and distribution focusing on their goals. So you're exactly right, though, that HR will have to step out of their department of their zone, head over to production, head over to distribution, head over to Q&A and say, what are your goals? What's the, you know, because we're bringing this training in, we want to make sure that we're actually aligning this training with the goals of the program.
Right, yeah. And that everybody's all up to speed and everything like that.
That's right.
Great, yeah, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I think that's all that I really had to chat about today. Are there any other final thoughts that you can think of about HR salute training solutions?
I don't think so. I think that last point we talked about is really good, just in that what are you looking for when you're trying to find training? Because I think we even have a lot of organizations when they reach out to us, that when we say, you know, what are you looking for? What's prompting this problem in the first place? There's not a lot of clarity around that. And it's interesting because any training is going to cost some money. And the last thing we want is for a company, an organization to spend money on a training that they're not entirely sure what they want to get out of it. And so one of the things we do, as you know, is we have our success meeting. And part of our success meeting is trying to identify which strategic priorities or organizational priorities are you trying to move the needle on. So that we know what you're looking for. And then you also know on the flip side, 3, 6, 9, 12 months after the training and even further, did this make a dent? Did this make an impact?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say to HR, any HR department or T&D, when you're looking for training, take the time to have those internal conversations first and go, what are we trying to move the needle on? It's really easy to say, we need to do safety training. We've had too many accidents. Okay, that's great. That's a good start. But let's get really specific on the goals. And in doing so, then when you do reach out to people like us, for example, you're going to have some really great specific information of what exactly you want from us. And I know that might sound strange for us to go, we want you to raise the bar for us, right? We want, because we could just sit there and say, hey, most people love our training. We have wonderful instructors. They work their butts off. They deliver great training. We're just super happy that you like our trainers. But at the end of the day, we're trying to truly change leadership, right? In manufacturing, in frontline leadership. And so we need to know more than just, did you like the training? We need to know, where do you actually want to move the needle in your organization?
Mm-hmm.
And so having those internal conversations before you start reaching out, it helps you get clarity on what you're looking for. And then B, it helps us know what those pieces are so that we can either, you know, align our program to it and just to have a good understanding of whether we've moved the needle with you or not.
Amazing. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Yeah. If you're looking for any specific training or tailored training for your organization, don't hesitate to reach out to us, either Kirk or Greg or Pavan. Any of us can
help you out.
Happy to chat. Yeah. That was awesome. Thanks so much, Kirk. And if your organization is looking for any tailored training, we can help you at uniquedevelopment.com. So for now, we will say goodbye and thank you so much. Until next time on the Leader Feeder.
Take care.